all the things you've always wanted to be. Beautiful. Sexy. Penis test 1, 2, 3.
Just let your soul go. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul, baby. Feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through.
So, yes, I do go by just Phenomenal One, just straight Phenomenal One now, whatever. Like, One is the last name. Like, matter of fact, there's even a fan here that calls me Mr. One.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
so your first name's The, your middle name's Phenomenal, and your last name's One.
Yeah, exactly.
The One. Ah, The One.
My mother wasn't great with going with names, so, you know.
It's the African name, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and plus he just thought it'd be easier to just call me TPO. With anything else or whatever. Like, what would you want to call me? David?
Joel?
Yeah.
At least they add, at least you got add the O, because if your name was just TP, that's just, wow.
that's a bad joke. Beavis does better than me or whatever, but yeah. You're not the one that's asked me that as of lately, though. I can only be the Phenomenal One from now on, though, because I have a shitload of fucking movies to do. I mean,
that's why you're the Phenomenal One.
What did I say 2 weeks ago? It was 6 or 7 movies? I think it's 10 now. Shit.
Well, you gotta think, look what time of the year it is.
I know, it's a fucking horrible time, whatever. I think I just tweeted about that. Man, Oscar time is kicking my ass right now, whatever, and shit. And then I didn't even realize, I don't even know if I can say this on air. Well, yeah, whatever and shit. I got like a stack of like screeners that were sent to me right now, whatever. That just sitting there in the corner. And when I lifted it up the other night, I even got like a thing from the African American Critics Association. I was like, that's a thing. I was like, cause judging from last movie spoiled episode, some fan didn't even know if I was black or not. So
yeah, I still gotta hear that because I saw that con. I saw that. I'm like, what? Okay.
I was just joking, but seriously.
Well, you don't sound like a white guy.
I was gonna say, yeah. Well, another thing was, I was like, I don't use my real name either because I go by the Phenomenal One. So how did the Critics Association find me? they must have located me. They located the Movie Spoil Studios.
It's Big Brother.
Help. Yeah, it doesn't help out that big ass neon light outside that says Movie Spoil Studios. Come inside, welcome.
That's nice.
Doesn't help that my license plate say Phenomenal.
Speaking of, are you going to the Oscars again this year?
I'm thinking about it. I don't want to. Part of me doesn't want to be honest, because I was looking at it the other last week or whatever, and I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if I want to go this time, because I want to do a show for it, like, on the day. I want to do, like, something live or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe.
You should, I mean, if you ever, I would go to the, I think the Golden Globes is probably more, probably
fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say more fun.
But yeah, because I just sound Oscars like this year they closed the bar as soon as the shit started. I was like, the fuck. I was like, damn, man. And Golden Globes, they keep that shit open all night.
Well, look at some of the high profile people they have there.
We'll be going to the Screen Actors Guild Award. I think
that's in February or March. Yeah. That's right after the Oscars, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's actually before.
Isn't it? Go to Razzies.
Let's go to the Razzies Award. What do you think will win this year at the Razzies?
Because
they usually go for the
movie big, 43.
They usually go for the big films, or whatever.
Movie 43.
I'm thinking, what was a summer movie that was
Paranoia?
Like, what was it?
Paranoia.
Nah, they wouldn't put that in the Razzies. They usually go for bigger films. Like I'm talking about like blockbusters.
Scary Movie.
Maybe Man of Steel. I don't know.
Nah. Is that too big? They don't really go for the action movies, do they?
Yeah, they do. Twilight won last year.
It's not an action movie.
Some people would argue with that or whatever, but yeah, Twilight won, and Matt damn sure wasn't the worst movie of the year or whatever. It was one of the bad movies, but wasn't the worst. So yeah, and then the year before that, another big movie. I forgot what it was. It was a summer movie, though, whatever.
I'm looking.
They always put movies at number one that are like high profile or that people know about. They would never put like Paranoia. The people would be like, "What the fuck is that?"
Yeah, well, we seen that nobody saw that movie. So
yeah, exactly, what the fuck is that?
Last year, worst picture was Twilight. You're right, and then it was Jack and Jill.
Yeah. So Jack and Jill. That great masterpiece there.
So I don't know. I mean, what's gonna get nominated? I mean, they had Oogie Love. Nominated.
Jesus fucking Christ. Just give me that movie.
And you're the pedophile that went there in Chicago to see that.
Just seen the mom looking at my ass, whatever, and shit like that. It ain't my fault trying to get to y'all fucking state and the goddamn airport fucked up shit. I had to go watch. Ooh, well, I didn't have to go.
I was going to say, you didn't have to go see that movie.
It was the only thing playing at the time. Why would they play that kid's movie at nighttime?
Why don't they play a kids movie at nighttime?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a trap. It's a setup. They were trying to set up a pedophile.
Well, you sacrificed your hour and a half, maybe. I don't know how long it is, but to see that movie.
Matter of fact, that movie made my worst of list, too.
I hope so.
That guy looked at me when I bought that to you. He was like, what the fuck? Me cussing out the goddamn flight attendants and shit.
Do you think inappropriate comedy could be nominated?
Nah, nobody gonna know what the fuck that is.
I just can't.
Barely some people know what Movie 43 is, or whatever. Unless they.
Okay, I thought of it. Grown Ups.
Okay, I can see that.
Or Wolverine. The Butler.
Did that get critically panned? I think it was like halfway, right?
I think it's halfway.
Yeah, it's halfway.
Maybe it's Wolverine.
Man, it's still getting nominated before Wolverine, dude.
Leahy would put World War Z up.
Yeah, he would. Okay, I was saying World War Z. Okay, yeah.
Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson could be definitely one.
Las Vegas. Oh wait! After Earth.
There you go.
We got it. We figured it out.
It's After Earth. Then there you go. That's the Razzie nominee right there. That's good. After fucking Earth.
Will Smith's going to be nominated for everything, including Best Actress, and he's going to win.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit, I should go to the Razzies. That might be fun, actually. I've never actually seen or paid attention to the Razzies that much, to be honest.
I just want to see who wins. That's it.
You know, and the thing is, the people that win, they got to go there and accept that award.
Sandra Bullock did. She did it like it used to be the day before the Oscars, and she accepted it. And then Halle Berry, I think, did it for Catwoman.
Yeah, exactly. I apologize for it. Bitch, we don't want your apology now. Go away. Just go away forever.
And her career has not been the same since.
No, her career isn't. Well, shit, I never really liked her personally anyway, so.
Nah.
I never really thought she was that great of an actress. She never had no bass in her fucking voice. There's no bass in your voice, bitch. Don't put a dick in there and suck.
I did like the call, though. She's good. I did like the call.
You know what? I didn't care for that movie that much, whatever. Because I didn't like her. Matter of fact, I didn't like her in the role.
No,
her
like what? What 911 operator goes and finds the girl? Come on.
Yeah, why the fuck would you go do that? Come on now, like you. Why would you I like her number one rule is we don't get attached to these people or whatever. And the first thing she does is gets attached to these people or whatever. And then next time she wants to go by herself, mind you, to some strangers outfield or some shit like that to find some chick or whatever instead of sending the actual police there.
Yeah,
I highly doubt that. I remember saying that if Angela Bassett was someone in that role, I could believe it. It's more believable because
what
Angela Bassett,
her?
She talks. She fucking, her. She got that voice on her like, motherfucker, you better listen to me.
What happened to her?
She's still around.
Is she? Was she in Ender's Game? No, that's not her.
No, that was Octavia Spencer. She was in Olympus Has Fallen and another movie.
She was in Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, she had another movie that just recently came out. She was in it. Fuck, I forgot what it was.
You can just call Olympus Has Fallen Die Hard. I call it Die
America's
Hard.
America's easy to break into.
Oh, that Black Nativity.
Yeah, she was in Black Nativity, too. I knew it was a black movie. I was like, was it Best Man? I don't know. Nah,
I knew it was a black movie.
I knew it was a nigger movie. I mean, a black movie. Oh, that was a long... You know, people, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 20, set 8. I almost fucked that up.
Did you say 27-8?
28. I sound like a fucking Who You Love now. Episode 28, I'm the Phenomenal One, WeSportsPodcast.com.
This is Z from the FanCritic.com and ShatteredImagesFilms.com.
Shattered Images. Dude, where have I heard that before?
Shattered Images?
Is that... Oh my god, is that, what's that dude's name, from, back in the WWF day?
Are you talking about Goldust?
Goldust!
Shattered Dreams, fool. My sister brought that up to me. Because he's still, that fucker's still around.
Is he?
And he's, I'm not shitting you, that dude has gotten good. He is.
Is he like still busy? How old is he?
Probably in his 40s.
40s? Oh wow, okay.
But he's gotten better. He's really good now.
Like as a performer? Or?
Yeah, him and his brother are champions.
Oh wow, okay. Congrats to him. You know, he was always, I mean, he had a lot of belts back then, though. That, you know, he's always a champion, so I mean, yeah. He's just mildly funny, though.
Yeah, my sister brought that up to me. I'm like, no, it's not the same thing.
Hey, maybe you could say the same thing. You could do a movie with him. Never know.
Maybe.
You never know. Hey, I bet damn well if he called you right now, it was like, I didn't appreciate you using that name, but if you're going to use it, I need to be the star of your first movie.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Would you turn that down if he offered that to you?
No, because he probably has a lot of resources.
I would definitely tell him only if you wear the wig.
And the face paint and the gold suit.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. But mainly and the robe. Don't forget the robe.
And bring in your ex-wife too.
Oh yeah. How the fuck was he married to that? That's what I'm trying to
say. I don't know. He'd be amazing.
People, we're here though, bringing back some classic comedy films here, whatever. Which I gotta say, I kinda wanted Harlem Nights to win.
I wanted Coming to America to win.
Yeah.
Because when you told me that, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Well, for me, I think Harlem Nights is funnier, but Coming to America is more well-known and more popular, too.
Oh, yeah. Made $288 million.
Yeah, exactly. I think it made like $128 million over here, and the rest was overseas or something like that. I can't remember.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty fucking good. I was like, damn, 80s films was making that much back then?
And this is, I mean, Eddie Murphy was, he wasn't, I don't think, a name. Well, he had SNL, but 48 Hours, Trading Spaces. Oh, he did Beverly Hills Cop, so he's starting.
Yeah, well, he was a name when his
he
name
was starting to become a name. Because Raw
he
got
his stand-up, too.
Yeah, Raw got released, I want to say, before this.
Yeah, it did.
So, now Eddie Murphy's just a joke.
Do you think his, what's the last movie he did was 1,000 Words.
Yeah, that was the last movie he did.
Which was
last year.
Fucking the worst piece of shit I have ever fucking seen in the past decade.
Even over Norbert?
It was fucking worse than Norbert. It was damn near on the fucking possibilities of being as bad as Norbert because my fucking god was 1,000 Words. It was just fucking, that was a goddamn hard movie to watch, honestly. That was like one of the, I want to say that was my first, that was like one, the first month of doing movies for, that was one of the first movies to come out and shit. And Lena didn't see it at the time, and I saw it, and she saw it later, but when I saw it, I was just like in disbelief of this shit that I was just watching. I was just like, this, it's fucking trash beyond believable. They even had a point to where he can't talk anymore, and yet he was still annoying. How is that possible?
It's not.
It was fucking, it was hard. It was really hard watching that movie. Whatever. That was definitely like in my top three worst of lists.
What happened to him? I mean, how did he go from such an iconic character in the 80s and the 90s to a joke? What happened to him?
I think that it's just adapting. I think he adapted to the time frame, and you know, he did more kids movies and stuff like that. Obviously, because kids movies make a shitload of money, no matter what the fuck it is, it's gonna make a shitload.
Not his.
Whatever.
Not his. Haunted House or what? Whatever the fuck that was. Mansion.
Haunted Mansion made money.
Did it?
Yeah. Then you know you got the Shrek movies, of course, but you know,
well, he just did a voice, and he was actually really good as Donkey, but
yeah, first one. I don't know about the rest of those motherfuckers, or whatever.
Yeah, they were.
I can't remember, what other kid? Didn't he do something else too?
Meet Dave. Imagine That. Daddy Daycare. Pluto Nash.
Okay, never mind. Stop it. All right, just stop, please.
Yeah, he. if you want to put one actor who's like the worst in 2000s, it's him. He's had a lot of shit.
Yeah, he had a lot of shit. Meet Dave. Oh my fucking god, that movie was horrible. That's fucking horrible.
I Spy.
Don't even bring that up. Don't even bring that up.
It's just besides Dreamgirls. And probably Shrek, he hasn't done shit.
Yeah, and I think people were thinking that Tower Heist was going to be the...
Oh, God, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, people were like, oh, this is going to bring Eddie Murphy back. And I watched it, I was like, it's the same fucking Eddie Murphy we'd have been seeing for blood. But that movie brought in a lot of money. I remember, I think it brought in like $150 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Mistaken or whatever. So fucking bad. That fucking movie was so fucking bad. Haunted Mansion... looked it up right now. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. This we've made $200 million.
It's got to be overseas, then.
No, it's here, too. It's
because that was a kid's movie.
It's both over here. Yeah, I'm telling you, kid's movie, make movie. And plus, it was Buena Vista.
It's like, when did he have... When did that whole hooker thing come out? Was that the 90s?
I want to say late 90s, was it?
You think that could be could be a reason? He wanted to get his image back, so he started doing these kids' movies?
How did I get his image back? When he was doing rated R movies in the 80s and shit. I think if anything, he just wanted to... Oh my god, you remember that one Adventures of Pluto Nash?
You told me not to say that movie.
Oh my god. Now that movie bombed like a motherfucker. That movie cost $100 million to make. It only grossed. And worldwide.
$7 million.
$4 million here and $2 million overseas. God,
who
damn,
was the studio? Oh, Warner Brothers. Oh, you are awesome.
Yeah, Warner Brothers probably said we ain't never working with that nigga ever again. We never working with that nigga. I mean, goddamn, can't believe this nigga. But no, I don't know, dude. I think it's just that he is adapting the time, whatever. Just realized that more kids go see movies than adults these days, or whatever. And he figured he'd go with the kids' movie. And you know, comedy. 80s comedy stars, whatever, trying to produce their comedy in the 2000s, and even, the 2000s, the millennium babies, whatever. It doesn't react to kids as it did the us back then. Well, I wasn't even born in the 80s, so. It react to them, whatever. I was born late 80s, people, 88. So, I was born in the year when his ass was coming up.
Yeah. I didn't really get to know Eddie Murphy till like, the 90s with the Beverly Hills Cops.
Yeah.
And then Distinguished Gentleman, Nutty Professor, stuff like that. But he's actually a very funny guy.
He was actually on, I don't know if you know, but Arsenio Hall has a show again.
Yeah, it's on Fox, I think.
I can't remember. I saw it on YouTube. He was actually on, Eddie Murphy was actually on the show or whatever, and they were talking about this movie, too, coming to America, and they were talking about how many years it's been, and that people's been begging them. And Arsenio Hall, he's like, you wouldn't believe how many people come and ask me when we're going to do a sequel. I'm going to do a sequel.
Why not? Everything else is a sequel.
Eddie Murphy was like, I forgot what he said, but he said he didn't want to. But after listening to Eddie Murphy talk in that interview, because I haven't seen him in an interview in a while now, whatever, and I was just listening to him talk, I was just like, my God, he's playing how he acts in those movies. So that's not him playing a character. That's him. That really is just him.
Yeah.
It was great for those two, whatever, because the comedy and the way that Eddie Murphy talks feeds off of Arsenio Hall, because, you know, they worked together so many times in the past, whatever, so, you know, their chemistry is obviously there, but when you see him do it with a bunch of people, like, 1,000 words, I don't know, Kerry Washington or Ben Stiller from Tower Heist or shit like that, it doesn't fucking work.
No, they don't have chemistry. You gotta have, I mean, he had chemistry with those people from Beverly Hills Cops, like, Arsenio Hall had awesome chemistry with him. Aykroyd.
Him and Arsenio Hall have done how many fucking projects? I mean, off movies just alone or whatever, they've done so many fucking projects together. I mean, so you could tell they're friends or whatever. So, you know, the comedy for them works. But
yeah, it's really... I mean, the movie's only going to be successful if your two characters have chemistry. And lately, he has not had any chemistry with anyone.
No, and that's the problem, too, because his comedy is feeding off the reactions of his other co-stars. And they're younger co-stars. They don't know how to react to this shit. That's why I'm saying, like, his comedy isn't suited for the 2000, the millennium babies. No. You know, it's not.
Maybe he's going to do a Beverly Hills Cop 4.
I heard that they were doing that as a TV show on Showtime.
Yeah, about his son, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if he said he was going to be in it as well or whatever. Or, but I think
I know I know a producer. I heard that too. I heard somebody he's going to be a producer.
Yeah, I want to say it got canceled though, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe I haven't heard anything about Eddie Murphy in a long time.
Yeah, because they were talking about this early summer or whatever about this shit, and all of a sudden it just got dropped. Because I want to say it got canceled or they put it on the shelves or something like that. I can't remember.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Because I want to say that Michael B. Jordan was in talks to be the son.
Is there anything that he's not brought up in any discussion?
Yeah, well, a black young actor. That's what
I mean, at least it's not Jada.
You know, it's funny because Jada only works with Will. That's the only way that's... It was funny because ain't too many young black actors out there, so whenever an old black actor sees one, yeah, they be like, I can do a sequel now. He can play my son.
Yeah, I don't think Michael B. Maybe. I don't know, but be interesting.
Would you want to see a Beverly Hills Cop show?
I love the Beverly Hills Cop movies.
Yeah, the movies. Would you want to see a show?
Why not?
I'm kind of tired of cop shows right now at the moment. I mean, I think I told you this the other day when you said Gotham was getting. I was like, yeah, no. I was like,
I just thought that was a rumor. I didn't know that was really going to happen.
Yeah, they got enough fucking cop shows. I mean, even that new show, Almost Human, which is sci-fi. I was just like, man, if you want to do a cop show, do Dredd.
We have Avenger. We have Agents of Steel or Shield.
Shield, yeah, Agents, which is Spot. Is still doing investigative work and shit like that or whatever. So.
And they just got that almost not is it Almost Human? Is that what it's called? Yeah,
almost
with
Human.
Cal Urban.
Yeah, not to mention all the goddamn CSI shows out there.
and the SVU.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to do a cop show now, I think that's why I appreciate almost Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Almost Human, because they're kind of sci-fi cop shows, if anything. Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I mean, I don't have Showtime, so I probably would never watch it.
I'm sure you can find it online.
Yeah, probably. But I would like to at least maybe see it to see what they would do.
If you had to pick an Eddie Murphy movie you'd like to see a sequel of, what would it be?
Any Eddie Murphy movie. Vampire in Brooklyn. No, I'm joking.
It'd probably be the only one you can bring back, because all of the members he played with in the 80s or whatever, they're all dead.
Yeah, well, he can play every character, but...
the only person that isn't dead is Arsenio Hall. He's still rolling around. He's like, man, you my only friend still alive from back then.
You know what? I would say... I like Life.
Oh, the one with Martin Lawrence?
Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, but yeah, could that be a sequel? Because they were old at the end of that movie.
I don't know.
They were fuck old, too. They were, on the verge of dying. They were fuck old.
That's probably the only movie I'd probably want to see. Maybe Distinguished Gentleman, because I actually like that movie, too.
I saw something about saying, fuck, I don't remember what it was. Alright, whatever. So, how about a plot synopsis here, see?
Yeah, let me bring that up. Coming to America came out in 1998, directed by John Landis, with Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, John Amos, Eric LaSalle.
Got a voice on him, man.
I liked him in this movie.
That dude's voice went in. He's like, oh, royal bathing, I see. You enjoy my son. Did he not convince you that he was a goddamn king?
Yes, he did. He always smiled, too. Like, when he was in the limo with his wife, he goes, you're not talking to me. He has this big smile on his face. I'm like, is that a good thing? I don't know.
That motherfucker, he's like, I'm the king. He's like, you don't let the peasants bathe you and seduce you afterwards? He's like,
yeah.
Oh, I do.
James Earl Jones has that voice that, it's like Morgan Freeman, who people think that's Nelson Mandela. I don't know why, but...
looks nothing. I guess if you want to, that's the closest it's gonna look to nothing. But still,
he's got. I mean, he's doing those. I think Sprint commercials with Malcolm McDowell.
Voice. Who's he doing that?
I think it's Malcolm McDowell.
Who is it?
Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell. Whatever. Yeah, actually,
they're funny.
I love his voice, to be honest. Yeah, that commercial is funny too. I'll give it that.
Budget was $39 million. Made $288 million worldwide.
Damn!
And that's in the 80s. 80s.
80s movies made that much money.
E.T. Indiana Jones, stuff like that.
That's not a sci-fi class by Spielberg or something.
This is probably the highest grossing comedy probably from the 80s.
Highest highest-grossing regular film that didn't involve any kind of genre into it.
What was the genre in this?
Just comedy. I think, you know, it could be labeled as a romantic comedy.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there wasn't really, like, you know, there's some humor, not a lot.
I think it's the characters itself that brings the humor or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot. There was humors in there a lot. I mean, I thought it was a lot of humor in there, to be honest. Just like, and not so much like jokes. I mean, just like humor of like what you can see on screen and stuff.
Yeah. And he had Eddie Murphy at his own production studio.
Yeah. I think he got that song. My girl wants to party all the time.
What happened to that studio?
Party all the time.
Did that studio...
You said you ever heard of Eddie Murphy News of Reason? I heard he's releasing another album.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Well, he did pretty good. He did okay in Dreamgirls.
My girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
I wonder if he's going to do a sequel to that song.
Actually, they do have it labeled as a romance, drama, and comedy.
Drama?
So I guess it could be labeled as a romantic comedy.
Where's the drama?
It's the drama between him and his family.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
I guess any kind of love story can be really turned into a drama.
Okay.
I mean, come on, every love story is a drama. I don't even know what I call them, romantic comedy. They're romantic tragedies.
Yeah. Coming to America is about Akeem Jaffer, who's the prince of Zamunda. Is that a real country?
Yes.
Because looking at the castle, it looks like something from like The Wizard of Oz.
No, it is.
you have to admit though, looking at that castle, that was complete CG, or that was something that was not real.
Yeah, I'm just joking. I don't think it's real.
But their castle looked like something from fucking Wizard of Oz.
Actually, it is real.
Zamunda?
Yeah.
Must be small.
I'm joking.
Oh, shut up.
Matter of fact, here, I'll look it up for you. I don't think that's real, dog. That shit's not real. Yeah, you know what? See that right here. First thing I pull up when I type it in, list of fictional African countries.
Zamunda's number one.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of them. Goddamn, how many movies made up African countries? Yeah, see, it says Zamunda. It's the first one. It's the second one in Z's.
Nice.
Well, I guess they put in everything from books and everything like that in here or whatever. But damn, there's a lot of fucking made-up African countries.
People like Africa.
Apparently, shit. They like it so much, they don't want to use their real cities in there.
Exactly.
I'm like, you know what that just means? And people just making up words and shit. Oh, man.
But Al-Kim is picked to be is the prince, and his family... You know, give him their arranged marriage, and he wants to go see the world. He goes to New York and tries to find a new wife.
Yeah, because he doesn't believe in arranged marriages and shit like that. He's like, I don't even know this woman. He's like, and then like, even when he walked like at the dinner at the breakfast table, they got to sit like distances away or whatever. He's basically not a spoiled rich kid.
Is that just a joke? I don't think that really happens. Do you?
What?
That they sit in that like mile long table. And they have
I've seen those big ass tables. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, shit.
And he had, let's see, he had orchestra wake him up.
Yeah, or even when he got up from that table and started walking, he was just like, oh, rose petals, oh. And then they just started running and following him and shit, and he just looked at him and was like, okay.
And he had two people bathe him.
Which I didn't mind that so much.
No, wait, one girl came out, she came out like, I'm like, probably about 10 feet away from him and goes, the royal penis is clean.
Yes! Best line in the movie. Your royal penis is clean, Your Highness. And he just looked at her with that eyebrow. Like,
he even said when he was talking to his parents, he goes, I don't mind the bathing.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm just talking about the cooking, the dressing,
the wiping.
The rose petals, the bathing. Although I don't mind the bathing that much or whatever. And then his father's like, ah, yeah.
The wiping.
Yeah, the wiping. I was like,
that must be the bad servants. That'd be the wipers.
And you know, I liked his character from the start. I was like, he's not one of those spoiled ass rich kids who's kind of a bastard or whatever and shit like that. He's very down to earth and humble.
Did you recognize one of the rose petal girls?
Which one?
I think her name is Gabrielle.
Yeah.
I think she was in a Chris Rock movie.
Yeah, there was a. Did you notice another actor in here as well too?
Cuba Gooding.
Cuba Gooding. That dude was. I was like, damn, he's
He
not
still
aged.
has the well, he still has the same stupid dumbfound look on his face.
He still had those those wrinkles on his forehead.
He had to have been like 19, maybe.
Yeah, he was young in that one or
But
whatever.
he
So I was like,
looks the
damn,
same.
looks the same. One thing different, he ain't got a beard
That's
now.
why I
But
said black people don't age. Or black people don't age.
yeah, we don't crack. Black don't crack, baby.
I mean, Denzel looks the same. Samuel Jackson looks the same. Well, he changes his look every fucking day.
Samuel Jackson looks this fucking sick. Like, that motherfucker was always old.
And of course, he shows up, and once he started doing, fuck this, fuck this. I'm like, yeah, Samuel Jackson. I'm like, is he? He's in like in every movie.
That brother looked old in 88. He used to
How?
look greasy as fuck.
I didn't know he was in this.
You know what? A lot of people didn't know he was in this or whatever. And I remember, I think I brought this up like months ago to somebody. It's like, Samuel Jackson was in it? I was like, yeah, he was the dude that robbed the McDougals or the McDowells or whatever the fuck that place is called.
That was so funny when they did when they were gonna go there and they showed it. I'm like, is this just a joke against McDonald's? And they did the whole thing about McDonald's and stuff. I'm like, oh.
I thought it was because when I first saw it, I thought it was because they couldn't. Because I watched this a lot when I was a kid and growing up, whatever. I thought it was because they couldn't use McDonald's in the movie. But then when I heard John Amos bring it up, he's like, McDonald's like to think we're trying to copy them, but here they have the Big Mac. We have the Big Mick.
We don't have sesame seed buns. I love it. He goes, they got the golden arches, we got the golden arcs. And it was funny, Louis Anderson, he had that shake and he gets the door hits him in the back and he spills the shake and then Eric LaSalle gets the shake taken too. That was pretty good.
So yeah, Eddie Murphy travels to America where Arsenio Hall, and he's just like, I love it in the airport. He's just like, remember, we are not from royalty. We have to act like common people. He's got this big ass animal coat on him, this gold ass jewelry, and he's got like 20 people carrying his luggage and shit like that. And people just staring like, what the fuck? And then he just walks in the middle of the streets, puts his hand on it, and I love it because that's just how it is in New York. You dumb fuck.
And yeah, then like you know, I loved how they had all the luggage on the cab. That one was huge. I think it covered the entire roof of the cab.
It was in cave again too. It was so fucking heavy, whatever. And did you? I like because he was just like, "What part of Queens you want to go?" He's like, "Nice people, like y'all want to be in Manhattan." He was just like, "Oh no, we're not rich. We're actually just students or whatever, coming from Africa or whatever, and we're just looking for the moment parts in Queens, or whatever." And when he said those streets, because actually my family, I have family that lives out in that area too, whatever. And when he said that part of Queens, I was just like, "That's the most ghettoest fucking place in Queens."
Where do you want to go in Queens? The most common part.
And he took him to the most ghettoest, dangerous place of Queens. I like how he said, "Yeah, look, we want to go to Queens." I was like, "Did you not notice that at Queens, they have a nickname called the world's most largest and notorious projects in the U.S.? So don't you want to
That
there?"
was
Probably a
funny.
project shit.
I recognize the
But you
cab
know,
driver, I just can't remember his name. He looks
I can't.
familiar.
They had a lot of cameos and stuff like that, and that was a. You know, that was another good thing about the 80s films, too, is that all these big stars that were in here or whatever, but they didn't make such a big deal about them. You just see them and they go away or whatever. I mean,
And
as
even
now.
Mortimer and Randolph, Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy, they reprise their roles from the same from Trading Spaces.
I like the part where they go and go to the barbershop and then they go get their room, and these motherfuckers and stole their shit right off.
I was hoping they were bringing that up because they just walked out and can they see all the people wearing all their clothes? And then one guy brings the golden toothbrushes and a golden what was it a hair dryer? That was pretty funny.
Hey, my brother, you want to buy some toothbrushes, some high quality stuff right here, keep your dental hygiene up, whatever. And he was like, it was like even the bums robbed him, though. I was like, yeah, that's Queens for you.
I did love the guy that, I mean, the landlord looked familiar too.
Yeah, he was in a lot of these 80s movies too with Eddie Murphy as well. I can't remember his name. I don't remember a lot of people's names in the movies, so
But when the guy, he fell down the stairs, he goes, "You stole me rent. Don't be pulling this shit."
as they walk in, you just see this dude just he rolled down them stairs pretty hard too. I wonder if he wasn't supposed to do that for real shit. He rolled down them stairs and he's just like, "Hey, I forgot his name. He's like, hey, your fucking rent is due. Don't be pulling this goddamn falling down the stairs shit. The dude just woke up and looked down and was like, oh, man. And I like it when he opens up their room. He's like, now this place is fucked up for real. It's a damn shame what happened to that dog.
I love that. And did you see the blood splatter on the back of the wall behind them?
Yes. He said, he was like, I sold this room to a blind man once. It's got one window and facing a brick wall. I sold it to a blind man. He opened up the door and you see the chalk truck.
But the funny thing is, they looked out the window and there's like this view of the street.
Yeah, there was a view of the street. It's funny, yeah, because like I saw the brick wall, but it's not like the way he said it. I thought it was gonna be close up and shit. Like, cause you know how New York homes are. Like the houses are not that far apart from each other and shit.
Yeah.
So I thought it was gonna be like that. Like it was gonna be like all close up on. But yeah, they could look right out the goddamn street and shit. So I was like, that ain't bad.
No.
That's that blind man.
But the barbershop.
Blind man story.
Yeah. There's a sequel right there.
That's a spinoff.
Blind in America.
What happened to that dog? Because that dog had an actual chalk.
They're not going to do a chalk outline for a dog.
That's why it's so funny, though. And the way he looked at it, he was just like, damn, show was bad what they did to that dog. Just like, damn, what did they do? No. I like it because they had that man's cane. So...
Yeah, that.
Oh, that was hilarious, man! I had me a tear laughing. I was laughing out loud last night when I saw this.
Then they go to the barbershop, and I never been to a black barbershop. Is that how it is?
Yeah,
that's how it is. People talk. People argue about stuff like that.
It's just a bunch of old people just talking shit the whole goddamn day. That's all. Like I swear, niggas in barbershop has never been more educated than when they're in the barbershop.
And we're not talking about the Ice Cube movie. We're talking about a real barbershop.
We're talking about a real barbershop. Like niggas will talk their ass off, and as soon as I went to one yesterday or whatever. As soon as I walk in, whatever. Oh shit, you're right here. So you know what? Hey. And then that's when they told him or whatever. And then when I came in or whatever, they're like, oh shit, for double one. That's all they do is just, oh, he's here. This one's here, or whatever. Hey, David's here, whatever.
Eddie Murphy played every role?
What happened?
Did he play every role?
He played the main barber. And the old
white guy.
Jewish. I think he's supposed to be a Jewish white guy. I'm not sure.
Whatever. Yeah, it's a Jewish guy.
And he played the pastor. No, not the pastor. The guy that was singing.
The guy that was in What's Happening?
What was his name?
Oh, fuck.
I'm blinking on names now, whatever.
Randy Watson.
Randy Watson. That boy good. That boy good.
Yeah, that's how he played Clarence, Sal, Randy Watson, and Arsenio played the Reverend, and then he played...
Stripper, the cross-dresser.
The cross-dresser, she wanted to wreck. She would wreck them both.
They go to bars to look for women, which I don't know why they would go to bars in New York, of all places, to look for women. And it was funny, because all the women they were talking to was just like, the first one they talked to, I was like, wow, she's beautiful, whatever. And she's like, and I worship.
Yeah, I worship the devil. They do like a montage. They like the twins. Like this is our first time we've been out since the doctor separated us.
I was like, that's not so bad.
The one girl, what's the one girl? She was like freaking hot. She had like big tits. She's like, I'm into the group. That's all she said. I'm into the group thing.
Yeah.
Arsenio had like a big smile on his face.
There was actually two sets of twins. Remember the rappers?
Yeah, I can't think of their names. Peaches and I think it was like Ice Cube.
Yeah, and the first one they talked to was some fat, bald-headed black bitch or whatever that was talking about, I need a man that can support me and shit like that. Like, you supposed to take care. Like, he talking about he want to go for an hour and a half. I'm an all-nighter. You need to put in all work for me or whatever. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Was she in chicken wings?
Yeah, exactly. And then Arsenio Hall, that nigga makes the ugliest looking woman I've ever fucking seen.
I think that was the point.
He was eating that cherry. I was like, oh, fuck.
That's...
I don't know if you've noticed, though, but I've been watching you, and I want to do some things to you, and your little friend over there, too.
Yeah, they had, like, and I loved at the end, and Eddie Murphy goes, are all women in New York have emotional problems? I'm thinking, no, that's just all women.
York or America?
I think he said New York.
Okay, I was gonna say. He's like, oh, I have a motion. He trying to make a social statement in this movie, see? And then he meets, and that's when he runs into the barber again, played by him. Which, by the way, I mean, that is, this is where the Social Network's got this shit from. I gotta say, that was actually a good job of him. Like, I could tell that there was Eddie Murphy from the voice or whatever, but as far as, like, the makeup and shit went, that was pretty damn good.
Is this his first movie doing this?
Doing the whole playing multiple characters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder why he wanted to do that. Because he's pretty much known for doing that.
Well, because he's a character actor. I think, and he knows he likes playing different roles and stuff like that, different characters. I mean, he's going to play the straight guy in his main role, but, you know, every now and then he wants to, like, let loose and play the character that's going to make you go, like, oh, damn, this Negro right here and shit like that. So, I mean, that's probably the best thing Eddie Murphy is best at doing. He probably should start sticking with that more, is just being a character actor. Not being so much the main actor of movies anymore.
You talking about, like, Johnny Depp type thing, what he does now?
Yeah, something like that.
Because when he was the white guy, he was good too.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was good at all.
And I did not know that he was Randy Watson. The voice gave it away. But yeah. I'm like looking at him. I'm like, that's not Eddie Murphy.
No, that didn't look like him at all. Whatever. And then I saw at the end of the credits, because you know they was going by everybody. I could see where that does. I was like, that's damn good makeup. Then that's
yeah, that's 80s makeup, and that's amazing. Yeah, well, they were. They needed to go all out back then.
Mm-hmm. And shit, we made a shitload of fucking money too. Mm-hmm. But so he runs to the barber, and then they tell him, "That's your problem. You ain't gonna find no good girl in the barbershop. I mean, in the bars and nothing like that. You need to go to a good place. You need to go to the library. There's good women up in there. You need to go to the church. This place I'm going up over here, right here. The rally, whatever.
Black awareness.
What is that? Yeah, black awareness or whatever. Like I was black awareness, and the preacher's like, now. I'm not going to talk about God, but the Lord is thanking these beautiful women be being up in here. This right here.
I love Arsenio says, he goes, these women up here are the best that queens have to offer. Pick one, let's go.
He's like, apparently this is the best. So he's like, no. And I loved Arsenio Hall's that forever because he's just like, let the Lord up above.
And I've never been to a black church either, and I can pretty much guarantee
That's just how they act. I like how people might think, oh, that's a black stereotype. That ain't a stereotype. That's real right there. Because when you get a nigga talking about pastor, a Negro pastor talking about church, that motherfucker will go on and on and on. And the way he kept talking about the way he's like, turn around for me, ladies, turn around. Lord, the Lord made this. You know the Lord made it, right? The Lord God up in here. And then he was just like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Randy Watson. And then only dude clapping is the old dude. I think it was Clint. I forgot his name. It was Clint, the shorter one of the barbershop, whatever.
Yeah, the one, the non-Eddie Murphy character.
Yeah, the non-Eddie Murphy or Arsenio Hall character. He was just like, he's clapping, he's like, that boy good, that boy good. And everybody was just looking at him like.
People must have hated him because he got no response.
His response was funny as fuck because at the end of his performance, he throws the mic down like he just dropped, like he just did like a good-ass performance and shit. He throws the mic down like. And the only person you hear clapping is just like some coughs and you go like, and some.
Yeah.
Sexual chocolate is my band. Ain't they so lovely? Don't they play lovely?
He actually did a really good. He actually did sing really good. I'm not gonna lie. He did really good.
Oh, it's bad. Sexual chocolate. They play so lovely, don't they?
Sexual chocolate. Sexual
and
chocolate.
And then I like how Eddie Murphy at the old barber, he's just looking at me. He's like, no, damn what?
Damn well, he ain't good.
It's like good. He said, good win. Wins are getting
good. And then we meet Lisa.
Oh, my God. My Ebony Queen.
Who, I mean, she's like, hasn't done shit since this, has she?
She was a TV actress, if I'm not mistaken.
Soap actress? Because I got kind of like a soap vibe with her.
She did do a recent movie. It was a black movie, of course. I don't remember what the fuck it was now.
Yeah, I'm seeing she's in a lot of TV. She's in Cosby.
Yeah, everybody's on a fucking Cosby Show. I mean, every fucking black person you could think of was in a fucking Cosby Show.
she was in the Cosby Show and the show Cosby. Love Boat. Yeah, she did a lot of TV. Does she have movies on here, too? Oh, she was only in Johnson's Family Vacation, Towelhead.
Yeah, that was the most recent one.
Preacher's Wife. She was in Belly 2.
Not Belly 1 with Nas and DMX.
Nope, Belly 2. The Billionaire Boys Club.
Yeah, I think Johnson Family Vacation was her last movie.
I never heard of Towelhead. Well, maybe I have. It sounds familiar. But
it does, actually.
She wants people to donate for the Linkin Park. And Eric, this is the first thing we saw of Eric LaSalle. He just passes it over, and she gets that dirty look from that woman.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know what? She's in this straight-to-DVD movie, Act Like You Love Me.
Okay.
I love that girl. She's fucking fine.
I love the line. She goes, "We take the jiggly change, but we also like to see this one that fold." I'm like, "That's a great line." That was a good line.
And Eddie Murphy had the same look on his face like I did. I was just like, "Who the fuck is that?"
Arsenio pulls that big clip out with the money, and
he's just like, that motherfucker puts the whole reel on. He just looked at him and was like, "The fuck?" And I like how I pass by her because we get introduced to her boyfriend. Was it Daryl or Darren?
Daryl.
Daryl, yeah, and then he just looks at the things and he just passes it along. But I was like, "You cheap bastard."
Yeah.
And that's when the McDowell is introduced. Whatever. He wants to get a job at the McDowell's now. Great job. Working goddamn.
I love John Amos.
Yeah, waiting tables pretty much.
I love John Amos.
John Amos was greatness.
Oh, he was awesome.
And then we get great moments with Daryl. Because Daryl, man, that dude's that.
What was the, he had Jerry Curl. What was that shit called?
Soul Glow. Just let it shine through, babe. Just let it shine through. You want your hair shiny? Okay. All right, people, I'm going to be singing that a lot through this movie, whatever, because that shit... The Jerry Curl shit in here had me laughing like no other. Matter of fact, you know what?
Are you bringing it up?
I already got it up, yeah. Sexy, sexy, easy, easy. 1, 2, 3. Just let your soul go. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul go. So silky smooth, just let it shine through it. Just let your soul go. Okay, back to the review.
He wasn't the founder. His dad was the inventor. He was just over.
Dad was the inventor, and he was just he was pretty much.
Taken over.
I guess it was the opposite of Eddie Murphy's character. You know, he was a spoiled, rich douchebag. Yeah.
He was a douchebag.
Yeah, man, that dude was a dick throughout the whole movie.
He played I mean, I liked him in ER, and he was kind of like the same in ER.
Yeah. Even though it's the scenes where Eddie Murphy was, when he was involved with him, he was talking shit to him. But no, I was looking at him like, what the fuck? Dude, you're a little punk, though. But that shit had me dying when... They have, like, the little get-together party at John Amos' house and shit, and he tells his family to get up, and they got up from that couch.
That was awesome.
Wow, they left that big-ass grease. Now people understand why black people always put in plastic lane furniture.
Oh, that was awesome.
That shit happened. And you get great moments, like, when Samuel Jackson comes in. I mean... I love it when he comes in because he has this crazy ass look on his face and shit. And this is when Eddie Murphy and Lisa are starting to talk more because, you know, they're starting to be cool with each other and stuff like that. And he comes in talking shit like, "Get the money in the bag, fat boy. Come on. I ain't got all day. Put the money in the bag," or whatever. And then you see Eddie Murphy take a stick out. He's like, and Eddie Murphy sneaks up behind him. He's like, "Who the fuck is this?"
He goes, "I would not like you using those derogatory remarks."
Oh, yeah. He's just like, "Fuck you."
And I love Eric LaSalle says, "I was going to help you, but I had coffee in my hands."
Oh, coffee in my hand. That dude was hiring me on a counter like a little bitch. I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, and all this when he went to the basketball game, he was like, you must learn all that stuff, like fight lions and tigers and stuff like that. Or whatever.
Because that's why Lisa and him was talking. They was like, hey, you have a good time at the game and shit like that or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was yeah, you were talking about him being in from Africa, because that's where everyone,
exactly.
He's like the talk of the, he's like the talk of the store.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, he's like, oh, you must get up. He, like, he was just being a dick at the game, like, the whole time, like, and then Lisa even recognized it, but, it, like, he just had this look on his face, like, yeah, whatever, you know, just, yeah, I bet you could go there in Africa. I was like, man, I bet your cheap ass couldn't get better seats than this, then, huh? Sure. Fucking sponsor of Soul Glow, and yeah, you can't get better fucking seats than this shit. And her sister was a whore.
Yeah, she was. When we first see him, I thought it was, you know, when she gets the $500,000 earrings, I thought it was like her friend. And I'm like, every movie's gonna have a friend. The girl's gonna have a friend that's gonna like him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
God damn, there was some nice ass earrings and shit. And when I saw her sister, I was like, how the fuck is she related to Lisa?
Yeah, she was like dark skinned compared to Lisa. What?
No, I mean, John Amos ain't light skinned. Don't get me wrong. John's skin ain't light, but fuck. This bitch was goddamn tarmac. bitch was the bottom of my goddamn shoe right now. Her little bony head. Get your bony head. I would have told her, somebody get this stick off me, please.
She was skinny, too.
I might get this black pencil off me right now, whatever. With this goddamn weave she got in her head. That bitch needs some Soul Glow right now.
But I did love when, John Amos is like walking around the store. He goes, do you know how to mop? And he and Eddie Murphy takes the mop bucket and just starts moving it round and round.
Says, leave the bucket. It might confuse you.
Yeah, that was funny.
I like when he was describing the football game to John Amos. John Amos was telling him, look, son, we'll keep working here. You better stay off the drugs. It's like, does everybody forget that he's from Africa?
That was so funny. Did you watch the football game last night? The Packers of Green Bay and the Giants in New York. He goes, son, if you want to work here, stay off the drugs. That was funny.
Yeah.
But
but you know, you start seeing scenes where him and Lisa start getting close, because at that little party we talked about where the greasy head Negroes was there and shit.
That was so funny.
Out of nowhere, Daryl just proposes to John Amos instead of the daughter instead.
Oh, she! Like, did you see the look? Oh my god! I stand by my reason. You never piss off a black girl.
Hell no! Because if looks could kill, black woman would fucking murder your ass 10 times before they even touch you and shit. That look on her face just kept getting worse and worse. Like, cause like her dad didn't even like go, didn't even approach her or nothing like that. Her dad just accepted it and then just like went up there and gave a speech and shit and was just like, Daryl proposed to marry to her and she accepts. And I was just like, what the fuck? And she was just looking like. That look on, and then when she grabbed him and when she pushed him in the room, I was like, damn, she's strong too.
That was funny. Do you feel that Arsenio kind of got like pushed to the side when the whole Lisa and Akeem thing came about? Like his character just got kind of pushed away? You there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's definitely. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. He's supposed to be just a side character. Of course, there was more of him in the beginning because Lisa wasn't introduced yet or whatever. I always realized that once he finds a woman or whatever, Arsenio just become like the one-liner of the movie now.
Yeah, and he changes that entire apartment, so it looks like a fucking awesome-looking place. Has a jacuzzi.
Yeah, fucking badass.
No, he has a jacuzzi and...
Then the sister sneaks up in there talking about, I know you and Akeem ain't making that much money off y'all salary, and just like...
How did she get in there?
I'm about to say, bitch, you know what? That's probably how that dog got killed.
Did she kill the dog?
They ain't got no locks on the fucking door. You just walk up in them bitches and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, that's just... Then Arsenio tries to play the, that he's the prince.
Can't tell my business like that. Remember, don't you ever tell a single soul. You'll never hear a thing from me. That bitch was a gold digger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lisa's just a fucking heavenly queen or whatever. But then the fucking king and him come to New York and shit like that, and then that pretty much fucks up Eddie Murphy's whole world, because fucking the king pretty much tells Lisa, he didn't have no interest in you. Look at you. You're beneath me. He even tells her father that. He's just looking at these like, well, you're beneath me, and how much do you want? I can buy off $1 million in American dollars. I would have told him, you can make it $2 million.
He did. He's like, he just like, whatever. And I thought the assist, the other guy, so to try to get with her, I thought he was going to play a better, a bigger role than this. Oha. I think Oha was his name, the servant. I thought he was going to play a better, bigger role in this, but... Because he, when you remember when he, when they, we introduced, when we first see his, you know, bride, that he's singing
Why?
That song.
Why do you think that?
Well, just because he, what, all he did in the beginning, I thought he might have gone to America with them.
I didn't think that at all. I was just like, he's the king's right hand man, not the princess.
Did you like his song he was singing, though?
Yeah, see, so I was saying, the prince's right hand man was Arsenio Hall, and he was the king's right hand man, so I didn't expect to see him at all.
Gotcha. But I love the song he was singing when we meet Eddie Murphy's bride, saying he's like, she's disease-free or something like that. Whatever he said, it was funny.
All the songs in here were great, though. I'm not gonna lie. Like, they were just, like, funny, comedic, like, just let your soul go. Just let it shine through, babe. Just also silk and smooth.
You should grow out a Jerry curl.
I had long hair back when I was younger. I had a ponytail.
I love Eddie Murphy asked the barber, can I make my hair look like this? Why do you want to do that? You got natural hair.
Yeah, you got good hair. Why do you want to do that? Kids always want to fuck up their head and shit like that. Why don't you want to do that?
He charged him $9 to cut off that rat tail.
Yeah, he said he's like, that'd be $8. And even Eddie Murphy looked at him and was like, seriously? Fucking the king, pretty much. I don't care what John Amos got respect for. The king would have told me, how much would it be to let Lisa alone? Whatever, $1 million or 2 million? I'd be like, 2 million.
No, go up. Say at least 5. Because he, like, when he was showing Eddie Murphy his house, he goes, someday you'll have a house like this. Like, acting like his house is like the biggest house in, you know, in New York.
But yeah, to wrap this up though, like, pretty much Eddie Murphy, goes back to Zamunda thinking that he's lost the most beautiful black woman in this whole fucking movie I've ever seen. Or, matter of fact, the most beautiful black woman of that decade. And turns out King and Queen also arranged for them to fly out there to Zamunda and be his bride or whatever. How the hell could he not tell? As light as she was and dark as his other wife was?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of weird because I think they had similar or different body types too. So, I was like, well, he wasn't looking when she was walking down the aisle. He had his back turned, and he didn't know it was her until he raised up the veil.
Yeah. Which, by the way, oh my gosh, she looks stunning even more.
You know what's funny? I don't know if you got it. I wonder if you caught that. When he met his other bride, her dress, when he opened the door for her, it was like a good, like, 10 feet behind her.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was watching it, and then I just see these things come off that step. I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh, shit, it's her dress. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, it's probably, if not my favorite Eddie Murphy movie right here. I mean, everybody in here was good. There's not one character I had a problem with. Everybody delivered what they needed to do, and it was funny as hell, whatever. I mean, that Soul Glow song is a classic, man. I played that for my iPhone. I downloaded that and everything. It's a great song, whatever, and it should have won a Grammy that year. But
what, you know, was the deal with Daryl going to Lisa's sister? That was just, he just shows up, like, you know, and I have no idea what that was about. Like, did they get together?
Randomly trying to get in the house and shit like that. Then next note, obviously, you know, the sister's obviously gonna let him. And sister's a whore. Everybody fucking knows that shit. I mean, it's a clear fact on that one or whatever. And then next thing you know, she was just rubbing up on him. And he just said, fuck it, might as well go along with it, you know?
I loved Arsenio's line. He goes, since we've been in New York, I have not had sex.
Yeah, well, how long did he stay? Was it like 3 days or some shit like that?
Yeah, I thought he was gay at the beginning.
Oh, Arsenio?
Yes.
I don't think anybody in that castle was gay at all.
Except maybe the wipers.
Matter of fact, I'm going to say this right now. Africa doesn't tolerate that shit as well as America does, too.
Well, he showed up to the, you know, the king and queen don't like him. You can tell that quickly. He doesn't have an earring. Then when they go to that fight, their little training session, he's like this big-ass earring. I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? So, I don't know. He just kind of played it like he was. I could be totally wrong, but just my opinion that I really thought he was.
That's not planned, you know. Yeah, you're totally off because it's the 80s, man.
Yeah, it's
The
true.
fucking 80s and it's black people. What the hell you expect out of this shit to wear? And they were in Africa of all places. Shit, hell yeah, it's gonna be looking like that, whatever. If it was 2013 and he was dressed like that, then I'd agree with you. Since it's the 80s and niggas, all they wore was colorful shit back then, I can't agree with you on that one.
Did you like when Eddie Murphy's dad or when James Earl Jones says you're gonna be punished, you should be punished, you're gonna go to Waldorf, you're gonna get cleaned up and get new clothes, and he goes, "Thank you," like all excited.
So
I'm like,
get this stuff some. I said, what would you give it?
I would give this a high medium. It's borderline between high and large, or a medium and large. But
just pick one then.
I'm going high medium.
Okay.
This was a really good movie. First time, since it is the first time Eddie Murphy did characters, and all of his characters were great. Arsenio was really good. Eddie Murphy was great in his role. He didn't do his iconic laugh until like the very end. But
he did that iconic smile with them big ass teeth, though.
Yeah, did you see Arsenio? Arsenio has got like, he smiles and his like gums are like weird. He has a weird mouth.
He has a long ass head.
He does. I noticed that too.
Yeah, I don't know if that affects the mouth part either, but
yeah. James Earl Jones was great. Amos was great. Everyone was just perfect in their roles. I just thought a lot of the boring parts were him courting Lisa, but that's the only reason why I'm not going to give it a large.
Oh, okay. Since Lisa was so goddamn fine, that didn't bother me. yeah, I'm going to give it a C. One of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies, if not second or third or whatever.
Could this be one of the best movies from the 80s?
Well, yeah, well, just in general. Shit, damn showing for now or whatever. I don't like any of Eddie Murphy's movies now or whatever. Everything was great in here. The characters was great. Eddie Murphy... God damn it, I gotta admit, he's funny as shit, whatever. Samuel Jackson, this little cameo he did was a fucking hilarious, okay? And nothing beats the oh so powerful best song of the past 20 decades.
Even better than Dream Warriors?
Driven in Dream Warriors. Better than Dream Warriors, because you want to be smooth and sexy. Just fuck, cause it's all so silky smooth. Can't beat that.
Who sings that? Do you know?
I don't know. Some random nigga. some random ass black nigga that wanted to get some TV time. I like that commercial because, you see this greasy ass nigga head and shit. Like, he's just spinning around in circles, touching his ass, smiling. He's like, and then this lightning bolt hits it, and it's like, soul glow. Oh, greatest commercial ever.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's up there with the Old Spice commercial.
Yeah, with Terry Crews?
No, before Terry Crews, the other guy.
Oh, what happened to him?
Went on to acting, started doing stage and shit like that.
Oh, because I remember he was supposed to have his own TV show.
Yeah.
Then he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
I bake you a cake? No.
What was that?
Yeah, so you ready to move in comments?
Yeah, let's go.
Alright. Our first comment comes from Nick. He says, what is your favorite Nicolas Cage film, guys?
I like Face Off.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Face Off a lot.
I don't even know if I have a favorite Nicolas Cage movie. Like, favorite Nicolas Cage movie. That's a stretch, to say the least. Yeah, I don't have a favorite Nicolas Cage movie. I think he pretty much, whenever he's being his ridiculousness, he hams that up to the max in all of his movies, but when he's playing serious...
Just say Wicker Man.
I'll tell you Ghost Rider, that's my favorite movie.
Shut up!
I thought it was funny as hell when the kids say, so how do you piss fire? And then next to him, he sees a scene of him smile. comes from Andrew, he says, I'll top that with, what's your favorite Nicolas Cage hairpiece, LOL? Oh, that's easy. The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking of that too. That's
What was that other one? Season of the Witch. That was another good one too.
Oh, that movie was horrible.
Yeah, his hair piece was great though.
It's like every movie's got. I don't even know what his real hair is. I really don't.
I don't either, know or whatever. But the Sorcerer's Witch. Yeah, that hair piece should have got an IMDb credit.
Is he like Samuel Jackson trying to have like every movie's got a different look?
You know what? I just thought of something. Nick, to go back to your question, my favorite movie that if he would have did it would have been Superman.
You're joking, obviously.
What happened?
You're joking, obviously.
Oh, man, that would have been a great movie if Superman... I mean, if Nicolas Cage would have been Superman.
Man of Steel? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see those photos of him in the Superman costume and shit?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, you guys.
Let me look those up.
Looking for a Man of Steel boots for Superman Returns. He tried out to be Superman and shit like that or whatever. And he had the costume in his closet, so he wore it to the audition.
Oh my god.
You gotta see this. Actually, I think I posted it on Twitter a long time last year.
Oh my god.
Might still be on there. It's fucking hilarious. I would love to see that. I was like, you know what? The next Man of Steel, Superman movie ain't gonna probably be good.
That is... That's just a big wow. Why would he have that costume?
I don't know. He's got a Batman costume, too.
He just wants to play a superhero, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He really does.
But
the thing is, he doesn't want to play no minor superhero either. He wants to play the big league ones.
So he picked Ghost Rider?
You know when... he didn't pick it. They gave it to him. Well, they threw it up in the air and he caught it and said, yes, superhero film.
Oh, that's right. That's how he picks the script.
Yeah, exactly. You know damn well when they were casting for this older Batman before Ben Affleck came, you know he fucking heard that and was like, I'm so fucking there. last comment I got here to read off here is from Cynthia. She says, alright, Cynthia says, great review, guys, and yeah, that was a good point, P1, about is this film that slapped a religious people's face. I know P1 isn't religious, but how about you, Z?
I don't believe in I believe in God, but I don't believe in religion.
That makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Why would you want to believe in religion if people are not fucking with you?
No, I don't believe in living by rules. That rules have changed, like kind of like the laws, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, which I like whenever people be like, the laws back then, it's like, those laws was fucking back when slavery still existed, so.
Yeah, so I don't believe in religion.
Yeah, the thing is, too, but she goes on and says, also, what's a film about religion that not only beat you guys over the head, but you actually loved?
Passion of the Christ? That's the only movie that I can, even think of. I mean, I tried thinking of a bunch of movies, but that's the only one that like stands out in my head. Is that when that came out, that was everywhere. Picketers, people were protesting that movie. It's just, I just thought Passion of the Christ is the only one I could think of.
Yeah, that one beat me over the fucking head, all that beating and shit like that. The one that didn't, that I loved, that didn't beat me over the head, was Life of Pi.
That's a religious movie?
You didn't see that?
I seen, like, maybe the last 45 minutes of it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You didn't watch the whole movie yet?
No, I had free HBO and I turned it on, and it was 45 minutes, and it was never played ever again. I lost it. I'll watch it sooner or later, but I want to see it because I actually liked what I seen. But that I didn't know it was a religious movie.
Get your ass out there and go see it then. Shit. They actually handle religion. I want to say in the first...
Did you say in the first what?
Like the first 20 minutes. Guy keeps fucking freezing and shit like that, whatever. With the first 20 minutes or whatever, the kid, he sees religion, but he doesn't understand it. And then he sees other religions, right? So he wants to be all of them. And his father, you know, his father, who isn't the religious person, he doesn't go on, like, some rant about nothing like that. He actually sits his son down and has a normal conversation with him saying, look, you can't be every religion. If you're going to pick a religion, then you need to pick one and stick with it or whatever. And I was like, that's very admirable about this movie, that they actually handled that and get all black and niggerish on him and go like, oh, religion's stupid and shit like that. I thought they handled it in an adult manner, so... And plus, it didn't beat me over the fucking head either, or whatever. So yeah, life of P1.
What's like being over your head is something that's
It's fucking Passion of the Christ. That's what it is.
I mean, everyone's idea of being over the head is going to be different. So, but I think Passion of the Christ, just at the time when it came out, it kind of was like forcing us to see that.
What was that?
I would say, like, when Passion of the Christ came out, that it was kind of like all the previews and everything, like, you have to see this movie and stuff. It was kind of like telling us we had to see it or we're going to hell.
Yeah, that movie was shit.
It's just 2 hours of Jim Caviezel getting beat.
Getting his ass fucking beat. It's like, we fucking get it after the first fucking hour, all right? Jesus Christ, shit.
Is this how it was for 12 Years a Slave?
Shit, 12 Years a Slave had a fucking story behind it, too, or whatever. I was like, you just gotta watch a man get his ass beat by fucking 27 hours and shit. This is a goddamn snuff film. That was like blatantly bashing you over the head, just religious people in it. Another movie that bashes people over the head is any Tyler Perry movie. Those movies will bash you over the head like a motherfucker about religion.
I've never seen one, so I don't know.
Black Nativity. Ain't nothing but church in that motherfucker.
Well, there's a religious movies are a touchy subject, I would say, even nowadays, because you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to offend anyone.
There's a funny movie, Religious, by Bill Maher.
Yeah.
That one was pretty fucking funny, whatever, because I like when he interviews these people, and then he just asks them questions, and they get so pissed off with him. And he's just like, I'm just asking a question. He's like, I don't know or no, whatever. I'm asking you the question because you're the expert. And they just like, were getting upset with him. And I'm just like, why are they getting so upset? He is just asking questions. I thought that was a funny one. So, yeah. But anyway, people, Skype is being a bitch today. I don't know why, but fuck it. Fuck that British bitch, too, that always answers whenever you call, too.
Huh?
This has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 28. Yeah, I know.
This is the...
They'll see it. Yeah, this is the phenomenal one, of course. MoviesPodcast.com.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Later, bastards.
I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join the show?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all inside of me, yeah. Sexy chocolate.